Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This week's Images of the Past, you can find it right now, sdpb.org/images of the past. And it's a rather timely one as we look at how history sort of continues on its path. And Carolyn Weber is with us right now. She is the executive director of Deadwood History Incorporated. Carolyn, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for having me.
This is the story of a singer who comes to Deadwood, and all she wants to do is to sing, but there are nefarious intentions for her as well. So tell us a little bit about who this woman is, and let's start at the beginning with, you know, what her childhood was like. Where was she from?
Okay, sure. Yes, it's the story of Inez Sexton, and she is a rather interesting person, as I have found out doing all this research on her. She was born originally in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1855. Her father, he was a newspaper journalist, but he did more drinking than writing, which often left the family in, you know, financial states. And her mother, by most accounts, was mentally unstable at the time. And then to top it all off, there were four younger siblings in the family. So being the oldest child and the most stable, I would say, in the home there. Inez was, she took care of the younger siblings, and she cared for them because they had a, kind of a lack of parental stability in the home. But Inez had one thing going for her. She had an absolutely beautiful voice, and this got noticed by the people in Grand Rapids. And one of the good citizens got it arranged so that Inez could attend Mount Holyoke College, which is in Massachusetts, and it's an all-women's college there. And so they approached her father asking if she could go to Mount Holyoke. And begrudgingly, because she was the primary caregiver for the family, he agreed to let her go, finally, and to pay for her tuition while she was there. She assisted with teaching classes at the college, and she would also sing at concerts, in choirs, or wherever she could find a paying performance. And she worked hard at this, and she honed her musical talent while she was at Mount Holyoke, and that was for 2 years she was there. And then after that time, she had advanced enough in her studies there, and she had earned enough money that she went off to the Conservatory of Music in New York, which was quite a feather in her cap. So while she
she is on her way.
She is.
Yeah, good for her. But then, you know, she meets someone.
Yeah,
alas.
It's looking good for her. You know, her music is taking off. She's making money. Her future's looking bright. And then she meets a man. And he was a physician. And I never really, in any of the newspaper articles I read during the research, it never gave a name for him. So I don't know what his name was, but I know that he was a physician and supposedly of a good reputation. And he so admired, and he so was attracted to Inez, and he pursued her, and even promised, which was what her real goal was to go to Europe and study. He even promised to take her to Milan, Italy. So she was very infatuated with him. And when he said, you know, when he asked her to marry him, she quickly said yes. And so, like most women, she went out and spent a good deal of her hard-earned money on a really exquisite and beautiful wedding gown. And then between the time that she had bought that wedding gown and the actual day of the wedding, I don't know what happened, but Inez did a lot of thinking in this time. And she decided that she wasn't sure if her husband, or her fiancé, I should say, was exactly what he appeared to be. She just had some concerns from their courtship and how it went, and the quick way he asked her to marry him and her quick response. She was kind of having second thoughts. And in her mind, for some reason, she had concerns that perhaps her fiancé was a married man. So, yeah, another cat in her life. So then she gets in her beautiful wedding gown. She goes down to their wedding site, and she quickly confronts her future husband before she says, "I do, thank goodness." And he sheepishly admitted that, "Yes, I am indeed married." And poor, you know, poor Inez, she was only 20 years old at the time. And so she was so upset when she found this out, so very upset that It sent her to the hospital, and she was in the hospital for 6 months with what was described in the newspapers as brain fever. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'm just imagining that she was very stressed out and upset over what had just had happened to her.
Right.
So she was...
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, I just want to say you can, you know, see images or see photos of this from Deadwood History Incorporated and find it all on our website at sdpb.org/images-of-the-past. And Carolyn, I'm wondering if we could jump ahead a little bit and how do things line up where she ends up in Deadwood?
Well, she is... She was performing in St. Louis with a, she was performing with a vaudeville company at the time, which was a far cry from the choirs that she was used to singing with and the church choirs in New York and in Massachusetts. But she had to make a living. She just was destitute after her experience in the hospital, and so she just had to make a living. So she joined the vaudeville circuit. And she joined a company called the Oates Opera Company, and they were performing in St. Louis. And I think she was about 23, 24 years old at this time. And she had spoken with a newspaper journalist from the St. Louis Times there and had made some very unflattering remarks about her employer, Mrs. Oates, and the other performers in the company. She said that she could not understand why she, Inez, someone who had led such a pure life and was such a great voice, how come she did not quickly advance in her profession, whereas there were others with less talent and questionable morals who had seemed to succeed in everything. Well, of course, this did not set well with Mrs. Oates or other members of the performing company. So they read her the riot act, put it that way. And so they let her know how they felt, and then Mrs. Oates handed her her wages and said, do not ever set foot on this stage again. And so off she went. She had to go. She was, again, fired without a job, no opportunities there where she was at, when all of a sudden, this is where Al Swearengin and Deadwood come into the story. There were two talent scouts that worked for Swearengin that were out looking for new female entertainment for the Gem Theater back in Deadwood. Well, they had happened to hear of Inez's misfortune, and I think they really took advantage of her being in a pretty vulnerable state at that time. So they offered her a job performing at the Gem Theater in Deadwood, Dakota Territory. And Inez, I mean, what was she supposed to do? Here she is, a woman, no money to her name, no opportunities at this point. So she, of course, takes them up on the offer to perform in Deadwood. So she arrives in
1879, right?
Yeah, she arrives.
Right.
Yeah, she comes to Deadwood in 1879. I mean, we're still pretty much a rough and tumble mining town at this time. We've only been here for 3 years, and we still have some growing and developing to do. But we did have a good entertainment, there was a lot of entertainment in the area. There were four or five theaters and lots of other things going on for people here. So Inez, when she got here, she went right to work on the stage at the Gem Theater. She was an immediate success. People just loved her. She packed the place night after night. And right after she got here, about 2 weeks, she had a proposal from a gentleman named John Meller, who was a miner here in Deadwood, and he is referred to as the poet of Bald Mountain and the Don Quixote of the hills. How he proposed to her is hilarious, I think. It was in an open letter published in the local newspaper.
Oh.
Not exactly romantic, right?
Right.
So anyway, her response, she responded to him as well in the paper saying, I'm greatly annoyed by you, and no, I do not wish to marry you.
Poor Inez.
I know, poor girl.
She cannot get a break.
She can't. I know. Just when you think things are going for her, it's like, oh, nuts. Then she has another admirer of hers. It's a gentleman named Woman's Dress, and he's an Indian soldier from the United States Army, and he was in Deadwood to testify in a murder trial. Well, while he was here, he spent all his evenings at the Gem Theater, and he just went head over heels for Inez right away. And in fact, he offered to give 5 ponies for her. Which didn't sit too well with Inez.
She declined again.
Yeah, she said
no. She just wants to sing, right?
Yeah, that's right. All she wants to do is use her God-given voice to make people happy and to sing. So So anyway, that didn't pan out either. And then after about a month in Deadwood, Inez began to frequently miss performing at the Gem Theater. She would have a couple of performances and then be off for a week or whatever. People were wondering what was wrong. Well, they had found out that she was really ill during these times, and so she couldn't even get out of bed to perform. Well, turns out we find out what Swearingen's real motives were for Inez at this same time that she began to miss her performances. He had told her that he wanted her, or expected her, I should say, to, when she wasn't performing on the stage, that she would personally and intimately entertain the Gem's male clientele. Hmm. Yeah, so Inez was pretty shocked at this and really disgusted by the whole thing, and she didn't want to have any part of it. So to avoid him and his plan, she concocted these tales of illness where she had to be bedridden for days on end. And then she developed a pattern of performing for a few days, being ill for several days. And, you know, Swearingen, he did not tolerate that for long, that's for sure. He, in fact, he also withheld all her wages, too, expecting that when she got desperate enough for money, she would probably participate in his plan. Well,
Carolyn, we only have about 30 seconds left. Oh. Such a compelling story. But let's just end with a little bit about how the women of Deadwood really pull together to help Inez, because there is a bit of tenderness that she finds here in Deadwood.
There is. There is some good news here. The people of Deadwood got wind of this, and so some of the families decided to get her away from Swearingen and from the Gem Theater, and they housed her and cared for her during this time, and she got considerably better after about 3 or 4 months, and then decided that she wanted to go back to Michigan, and so the ladies of the town helped with a benefit concert where Inez performed, and so did several people, talented people in the town. And then at the end of it all, she got the money, and on June 9th, 1880, off she went on the stagecoach bound for better things in San Francisco.
Oh, Carolyn, I think you should write a book about Inez Sexton, because what a compelling story that still resonates today in the entertainment industry.
It certainly does. It does.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. We'll see you next time here.
Oh, okay, thanks so much.
All right. You can find that story and pictures of Inez Sexton and the historic town of Deadwood on our website, sdpb.org/images of the past.